السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله خالق الخلق، باسط الرزق، فالق الإصباح، ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا قيوما، لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا، ولم يكن له شريك في الملك، ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم وتحنن على حبيبك ونجيبك محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله وإماء الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. The Western world always speaks of human rights. We're always told that humans have rights, that people have rights, and that the West has always been a proponent of human rights. They wish for other parts of the world, other countries, to embrace human rights and to offer humans more rights, just as they do in their countries here in the West. However, we also notice that the West encourages human rights as long as their interests are not compromised. As long as their interests are not compromised, they encourage others to promote human rights, and they encourage others to embrace human rights. But when their interests are at stake, when they don't have interests in human rights, we see them, they give a blind eye to human rights. Look at Yemen. Hundreds of thousands of children are starving in Yemen. There's no proper water. There's cholera spreading. Demolished schools and buildings and homes. Where's human rights? When it comes to Yemen, there's no such thing as human rights. When it comes to Bahrain, there's no such thing as human rights and the rule of the majority and democracy. So when the West speaks of human rights, it's relative. Do they have interest in those rights or they don't? If they don't have any interest, or giving human rights to a certain area where their interests will be at stake, then that country does not deserve to speak of human rights. Those humans don't deserve any rights. While when we come to the Quran, when we come to Islam, we find real human rights. Islam spoke of human rights 14 centuries ago. Whether it has interests or it doesn't have interests, whether the Muslim nation has interests or it doesn't have interests, humans have rights. The Quran spoke of human rights 14 centuries ago, unbiasedly, objectively, without giving a blind eye to some places and other places. In some places they promote human rights, in other places they don't promote human rights. No, the Quran spoke of human rights 14 centuries ago for all humans, regardless of color, regardless of race, regardless of nationality, regardless of religion. Even if you're not a human, even if you're not a Muslim, but as long as you're a human, you have rights. You have undeniable rights. The sad part is that although our Quran speaks of human rights and taught us of these rights 14 centuries ago, We have the West teaching us today. They teach us of human rights. And they teach our countries back home how to implement human rights. This is the sad part of the story, is that when our faith, when our holy book, our scripture spoke of human rights 14 centuries ago, teaching other nations and other civilizations that were killing one another, it was teaching them about human rights. Today we have the West teaching us about human rights. This is the sad part. 2 months ago, I was at a conference in Geneva, in Switzerland, regarding human rights in Islam and human rights in the thought of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And I spoke briefly about human rights in Islam. Today, I'd like to give you a summary of what I talked about there and expand a little bit more. Wa sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The first right that the Quran speaks about is the right to live. The right to live. Because without the right to live, you don't have any other right. حق الحياة. The Quran says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And do not kill the soul that Allah has made sanctified. وَمِنْ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. And because of that, because of Qabil killing Habil, the Quran tells us, Allah wrote upon Bani Israel and upon everyone else that he who kills one soul, it's as if he's killed the entire humanity. فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. So the Quran gives the first right, and that is the right to live. Every human being has the right to live. We have absolutely no authority to take the life of others. Unless this person has committed a crime, then this is another topic. Unless this person has murdered another soul, then this is another topic. Every person has the right to live. Number two, freedom of religion, freedom of faith. Islam says that you have the right to practice your faith regardless of what the faith is. You can practice that faith, any faith. You don't have to be Muslim. Yes, between you and Allah, you have to choose the religion that you believe is right. But here on earth, no one can judge you. No one can force you. In an Islamic nation, a Christian will not be forced to convert to Islam. A Jewish person will not be forced to convert to Islam. لا إكراه في الدين. This is a general principle. لا إكراه في الدين. There's no compulsion in faith and in religion. Allah tells the Prophet, فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ. You will deliver the message and we will judge. You will not judge. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِجَبَّارٍ. You are not someone to enforce faith onto others. Your job is to deliver the message. Tell the people what to do. Deliver to them the message. Now whether they choose to accept or not accept, that is not your job. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطَرْ. Your job is to remind, Ya Rasulullah. You're a reminder. You will not enforce religion on others. You give people the freedom to choose their own faith, to choose their own religion, to choose their own school of thought. They wish not to become Muslim? خلاص. That is up to them. They will have to deal with God on the Day of Judgment. Here on earth, you cannot force. This is two. Three, the Quran promotes the rule of majority and democracy. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. The Quran says that their affairs are of consultation. And this opens for us an entire door of discussions. That is the Quran promoting the rule of the majority. The Quran is promoting democracy. That there's no dictatorship in Islam. There's no rule of one individual. Their affairs have to be of consultation and of shura. Your voice counts. Even if you're a minority, your voice counts. You have the right to speak. You have the right to vote. You have the right to choose your political leader. This is ordained in the Quran. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ And this principle of shura existed even at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ Consult them in their affairs. Consult them. Seek their advice. See what they say. Get their opinion. A fourth right that we find in the Quran for human rights, the right of education, to seek knowledge, to educate yourself. This is a right. This is a right that Islam accepts and Islam recognizes, that every individual, man or woman, child or adult, has the right to an education, has the right to seek knowledge. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ درجات. Allah raises the status of those who believe among you and those who seek knowledge and those who have knowledge. This gives us the basic right to seek knowledge, the right to an education. The Quran gives us the right to travel and to migrate. In some places, you're not allowed to migrate. You're told not to enter this country or that country. You need a visa. You need an application. You need a sponsor. While the Quran says that human beings have the right to travel, Allah has created this earth for human beings, and they may go from place to place, from land to land, without restrictions, without the need for passports, without the need for visas. The right to migrate. أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجُرُوا فِيهَا Some people will come on the Day of Judgment and say that we were not able to practice our religion freely. We were persecuted. Allah will tell them that didn't I create an entire earth for you? Couldn't you have migrated from one country to another country? From one place to another place? قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ Say, travel in this land. فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ Walk on God's great land and eat from His sustenance. The right to migrate and the right to travel and the right to move from place to place. A sixth right that the Quran promotes, the right of ownership. You have the right to own what you've made. You worked, you made income, you've owned a land, you can own. In Islam, you can own property and own. لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْ Men and women. In England, up to 200 years ago, women were not able to own. Here in the US, up to 100 years ago, now that they speak of feminism and rights for women, when did these rights come here in the West? After World War I and World War II. When men had traveled across the globe to enter into battlefields and wars. They needed women to enter the factories to work. They encouraged women to work. Not because they fought for women's rights, but because they needed women in factories. They wanted them to work. And do you think that men and women were paid equally? No. Here in the United States, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, there was a wage gap. What men were receiving and what men were receiving. And the right to ownership. Islam says that men have the right to own what they possess, what they make. And women have the right to possess and own what they make. The right of ownership. Number seven, حَقُّ الْعَمَلِ The right to work. The Quran tells us 14 centuries ago that you have the right to work. You can make a living for yourself. And no one can stop you. You can work any job that you'd like. You can make any sort of income that you'd like. And no one can stop you. Unless you harm others. Or you harm your community. Or you harm yourself. Like you sell weapons. Or you sell alcohol. That's another story. But if it has no harm for yourself or your community or your nation, work. Do business. Make money. Produce. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى This is one verse. Another verse. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا Don't forget your time in this dunya. Work for the next life, work for the hereafter, but also make time for this dunya as well. And a hadith that he who does not work for his dunya, he who is lazy to work for dunya, he doesn't have a job, he doesn't have a salary because he's lazy, then he will be more lazy to work for the akhirah. If he can't make a living here, then he's lazier for the akhirah. Work, make money. وَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ كُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ. Eat from his sustenance. How? Not freely, but by working. When the Quran says eat his sustenance, it means work for his sustenance. Go out and work. Go out in the fields. Go and make a living. So the right to work. The right to work. Islam has recognized this right 14 centuries ago. Number 8. حَقِّ الْأُجْرَةِ لِلْأَجِيرِ. The right of wage. You have someone working for you, he deserves a wage. You give him his wage. And you give him the wage that he deserves, not what you want to give him, but the wage that he deserves. Here in the United States, there's something called a minimum wage. And they brag about having a minimum wage. The Quran spoke of a minimum wage 14 centuries ago in the Quran. وَيَا قَوْمِ أَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ. You have a worker, he deserves $50 a day, you give him $50 a day. He deserves $100 a day, you give him $100 a day. You give every worker what he deserves, what others are receiving. This was 14 centuries ago. The idea of minimum wage, that you don't steal people's money, you don't take from people's wages. You give them what they deserve. Number 9. The Quran speaks of honoring agreements. Honoring agreements. Whether it's a business transaction or a political deal or a deal between two companies or two tribes or two individuals, honor that agreement. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ. There's an agreement between you and another individual. There's a business agreement, or two companies, or two nations, or two continents. There's an agreement. Uphold that agreement. Don't disrespect the other person. Don't oppress the other person by stepping aside and not respecting that agreement. You have an agreement. Uphold that agreement. أوفوا بالعقود. This is part of people's rights and humans' rights. Number 10, the Quran speaks of the right of heirs. Heirs. The heirs have rights. وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. In the beginning of Islam, when the migrants from Mecca and the helpers, the Ansar of Medina, Rasulullah made them brothers. And this brotherhood entailed the same rights as biological brotherhood. So a muhajir and an ansari, they would inherit one another. Until this verse was revealed. وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. That your biological relatives are a priority for you than the muhajirin and ansar. So this brotherhood was temporary. What happened between the brothers, the brotherhood between al-Muhajir and al-Ansar was temporary. And by the way, this shows that in Islam, some laws are meant to be temporary. Not all laws are general for the Day of Judgment, till the Day of Judgment. Some laws were meant to be temporary. This shows us that in the Islamic legal system, we have two kinds of laws. Laws that are general until the Day of Judgment, and laws that are temporary for specific times and for specific places. Your relative has a right to inheritance. The Quran speaks the right of your children. يوصيكم الله في أولادكم للذكر مثل حظ الأنثيين. Allah reminds us of our children and the rights of our children. Allah reminds us the rights of our parents. وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا. The Quran speaks of the rights of orphans. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. 14 centuries ago, the Qur'an established all of these rights. All of these rights have been mentioned in the Qur'an 14 centuries ago. But the West today is trying to teach us Muslims and Muslim countries regarding human rights. We'll continue in the second khutbah, inshaAllah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا واستغفر الله لي ولكم.